Good morning. Happy Mother's Day, first of all, to all the moms and grandmas. I love this mom in this video. She's everything I wish I could be, honestly. You know, mom is one of the smallest titles in the English language. It's only three letters, but with it comes some of the biggest responsibility in the world. It's one of the highest callings. So to honor moms today, we're going to just look at a little list of just a few of the things moms do. I have to read it because it's kind of long. Moms are the caregivers, nurse, chef, nutritionist, psychologist, counselor, teacher, homework helper, transportation director, taxi service, maid, laundry service, personal shopper, coach, advice giver, cheerleader, encourager, peacemaker, judge and jury, referee, entertainer, calendar planner, seamstress, finder of missing items. Are you tired yet? There's more. Fixer of broken toys, fixer of broken hearts, prayer warrior, and friend. And that's not even a complete list. And you know what? We're going to get up and do it all again tomorrow. That's just one day. And you know, besides that, some moms work outside the home. Some moms go to school. Some moms work outside the home and go to school. And you know what? We make it look easy. And moms, you're tremendous people. Your place in the family is invaluable. And we are so thankful for you and everything that you do tirelessly, day in and day out. We want to honor you today and every day, but especially today, we thank you for all you do. Now, I am a person that likes fun facts. I like to look up trivia, and sometimes I write little notes with trivia questions in my kids' lunches. So I've gathered some Mother's Day fun facts for you today. Did you know that in a baby's first year, they will go through 3,000 diapers approximately? So, from when a baby is born until they're fully potty trained, you will change approximately 6,500 diapers. That's just one baby. Okay, now I have two kids. So, according to statistics, on average, I have changed, my husband and I, not just me, but we have changed approximately 13,000 diapers. I'm going to keep going. Three babies. Some of you have three children. You have changed or are changing or will change 19,500 diapers on average. I'm going to go to four because my in-laws raised four kids, and I know a lot of you have four kids. You have changed 26,000 diapers. Five kids, 32,500 diapers. Now, I'm going to stop at six, but I got to do six for Pastor Dave and Roxanna, because they have six kids, and there may be others of you. And Roxanna, and I'm sure Pastor Dave helped, but you have changed 39,000 diapers. And now they have grandchildren, so that number is exponentially growing. But I can't even picture 39,000 diapers. In our house, the nursery is kind of small, and I think that would have just filled it up, spilled out into the hallway. Another fun fact, moms are often the lunch packers for the family. I pack the lunches in my family of four people. There's about 180 days in a school year, so four times 180, I pack 720 lunches a year. Now, a lot of you probably do the same thing, and if you have more kids, that number is much, much bigger. Now, if I continue to do this until my kids graduate, from kindergarten through graduation, that is a grand total of 9,360 lunches. That's a lot of sandwiches. And I have to confess that as we get towards the end of the year, sometimes I kind of start doing tally marks, just crossing them off to get to the end. Now, here's my favorite fun fact. My parents drove all the way here from Cleveland today, which is amazing. And they were even early. I live 10 minutes away and I can't usually get here on time, but they made it from Cleveland early. And my mom is, she's an amazing person. She's a musician, she plays the flute, she teaches flute, and she's also an incredible baker. She bakes everything, cookies, cakes, brownies, pies, and everything she bakes is like gold. And my mom does something very special. Chip and I got married in August of 2005, so almost 14 years ago. And literally every week since we got married, my mom has sent us a package of homemade goodies in the mail. Amazing. Yeah. My mom is awesome. If you haven't met her, you need to meet her today, both of my parents. And so to date, we have received over 700 packages of cookies from my mom. And only a mother's love would do something that fantastic. So Mom, we thank you for that. It's awesome. Now, I think because I like fun facts, I tend to be drawn to Bible stories that have fun facts in them. And so we're going to read one with quite a few fun facts today. We're going to read from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. And that's the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with two fish and five loaves of bread. And if you want to turn to that, kind of the backstory is that the disciples have been with Jesus for a little while now. They've watched him do healings. They've watched him turn the water into wine at the wedding feast at Cana. So they've seen him. They're no stranger to his miracles. And that's where we're picking up the story. So this is John chapter 6, 1 through 13, if you want to follow with me. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went, because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with five barley loaves and two fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from their five barley loaves. Now, this story amazes me on many levels. The obvious one, that Jesus feeds this massive crowd with five loaves of bread and two fish. But there's a few other things going on here that really amaze me. I've always wondered how, in a crowd of 5,000, and really more than 5,000, because it said that was just the men, right? So maybe we can assume maybe 10,000, maybe 12,000. But in this massive crowd of people, have you ever wondered why there was only one little boy who had the good sense to bring a lunch with him? And you know his mom had to pack that, right? One little boy with a lunch in this whole crowd of people. And now, this is a much smaller group today. There's maybe 300, 400 people here. And I know I can't be the only person that brought snacks. I know. I even have, right now, I have two breakfast bars and a bag of Skittles in my purse. And I know I'm not the only one. Moms, you know, right? It's our superpower. We don't leave the house without snacks. You might have done that once early on, but we don't do it anymore. But for some reason, this little boy is the only one with a lunch. And I wonder if it's because maybe people heard Jesus was coming and they rushed out the door. Maybe they didn't want to miss anything. I don't know. But for whatever reason, he's got food with him. And Jesus knew it. Jesus knew it coming into that day. The Bible says Jesus already knew what he was going to do. And I wonder, you know, was this little boy 8? Was he 10? Was he 12? We don't know much about him really at all. Was he with his parents? Was he by himself? We don't know any of that, but we know he had a lunch with him, and Jesus knew that he had it. Jesus knew he was going to be there that day. And that tells me that God sees us. God saw that little boy in that sea of people, just like he sees us here today. And something else that's interesting to me is this little boy's reaction. As far as we know, he didn't really have one. He didn't protest. He didn't say, "No, you can't have that food." Or he didn't say, "Hey, my mom said I have to bring that home." He went and he gave his food to the disciples for Jesus to pass out. And I just wonder what that felt like. I have a feeling he got to sit right next to Jesus or stand next to Jesus and watch Jesus take fish after fish, bread after bread out of the basket and hand those out. And I kind of wonder, did his eyes get real wide? Did he giggle? Did he jump up and down? I'm sure he ran to his parents at some point. Mom, did you see that? Dad. Probably told all his buddies. Guys, did you see what Jesus did? The fish, they just kept coming, and the bread, they just kept coming. And I suspect that he was never the same after that moment. Because how can you have a front row seat to one of Jesus' miracles and stay the same? And I suspect he told that story for years to come, to his kids, to his grandkids, to everyone he met, that he got to be a part of one of Jesus' miracles. And I really suspect that his life was never the same after that. And you know, his offering wasn't real big, 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, but he gave it willingly. And when we do that, when we're willing to give even a small offering, what we feel like is small, or maybe the world says that is not very significant, God can do so much with it, just like he did that day. And God didn't just feed the people enough. It says he fed them to the point where there was 12 baskets full of leftovers. He didn't stop with just enough. He wanted to bless them in abundance, which is the same thing he wants to do with us, with our small offerings. What about the disciples in this story? This is something else that is fascinating to me. They've already seen Jesus change the water into wine. They've seen him heal people. But for some reason, on this particular day, it's not even on their radar that he can do something big. Their question is, how are we going to do this? We'd have to work for months to feed these people. It's not on their radar that Jesus is going to be able to do something big. And I don't know why they missed it, and I'm not sure why they weren't quite there yet, but then I think, you know, I'm sure I've done the same thing. How many times have I missed it? And I've just kind of looked at my own limitations instead of turning to God and knowing that he can do something so much bigger. So I wonder, where are we in this story? Do you feel like just one person in a big sea of people, and you're wondering if Jesus even sees you? He sees you. You know, there's a verse in Matthew chapter 10. He knows how many hairs are on your head. You know, we love our kids more than anything in the world, right, moms and dads? But I don't know how many hairs are on my kid's head, and I'm not concerned about that. You know, God is, though. He knows. He already knows. That's how much he sees us. So if you feel like one of those people in a big sea, please know that God sees you. He knew you would be here today. He knows everything about you. He knows I have snacks in my purse. He knows how many hairs are on everybody's head in this room. Maybe you feel like one of the disciples, where you've seen Jesus do some big things, maybe in other people's lives, and you're wondering if he's going to do something big in your life, but you're not really there yet, and when the rubber meets the road and it's time for you to believe, it's just a little bit tough. Well, maybe today's the day where we all become like that little boy and we bring our offering to Jesus, no matter how small it is. And our offering could be so many different things. It could be our talents. It could be our passions. It could be our resources. It could be our time. It could be our heart. And, you know, maybe today's the day where we bring it in our basket to God and just watch what he can do with it. You know, one of my favorite examples of that, there's right here at church, the crochet group. That started with just a couple ladies with a passion for crocheting. And that has exploded into this huge group of ladies that not only crochet together, they are serving. They're making blankets for the pregnancy care center. They're making blankets for hospitals. And even better than that, they are supporting each other in prayer, lifting each other up. They have a Facebook group where they put prayer requests and take care of each other. And to me, that's just a perfect, tangible example of us bringing an offering that might seem small and God just multiplying it to overflowing, because that's what he does. Now, I know that Mother's Day is not always a day of joy. I know for some people it's a reminder of something painful. Maybe you've lost your mom. Maybe you don't have the relationship with your mom that you wish you had. Maybe you've suffered the tragic loss of a child. Or maybe you are somebody that has been trying and hoping and waiting to have a child of your own, and the day isn't coming, and you're wondering, is it ever going to come? Today I want you to know this. Jesus knows every pain, every longing, every hope, every joy, everything about you inside and out. He knows it all. He loves everything about you, and he's in it with you. He's in it with you, and he's walking it out with you. And there's nothing about you that you have to handle alone. You know, one of my favorite verses is 1 Peter 5:7. And that verse says, cast all your anxiety, all your cares upon the Lord, because he cares for you. He already knows you. You're here today. He called you here. He already knows you. Today's the day to just give it to him. Give him your basket of your 2 fish and 5 loaves and watch what he can do with it. He's going to do amazing things. We're gonna close out this part of the service by just, I would like to ask the moms and grandmas to stand up. We're going to pray for you. I would also like for, if there are ladies here who are hoping to be a mom, and you're waiting and it hasn't happened yet, I'm going to ask you in an act of faith to stand up also. We're going to pray for you too. I'm going to pray that this is your year. So moms and grandmas and moms-to-be and hopeful moms, I'm going to have you stand up, please. We're going to pray for you. Father, I thank you for every mom in this room, every grandma, every person that cares for children, that has raised children. God, we pray that you just pour into them today on this Mother's Day, that they would find refreshing, that they would find renewal, that they would find strength and energy to just keep doing what they do day in and day out. And we pray that you bless them for every sacrifice they make and everything they do for their families, God. May they just be blessed tenfold. And I pray for those out there today, God, moms or anyone, God, who maybe has lost their mom, we just ask you to bring comfort today, that you would fill the void, that you would fill it with your presence and your spirit and your comfort. And God, I just want to pray over those ladies here. If there's anyone here that is really hoping and praying and waiting to be a mom, God, we just speak life into their bodies to bring forth children, God, that this would be their year, that you would just bring life, God, that all the waiting and hoping, that they would know you're in it with them, and this is going to be your year. Bless them, God, with families. Father, thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you multiply our gifts to overflowing. Praise you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Whew. Thank you, Kim.